Welcome to the Now Leading Podcast, hosted by the Northwest District LCMS. We bring a Lutheran point of view to conversations on the art of leading as a follower of Jesus, through valleys, over peaks, and on the waves, following his lead in the great Northwest.
Well, welcome to the Now Leading Podcast, and I'm sitting here with President Paul Linneman again. Hi, Paul. It's good to see you.
Hi. Good to be back. It's been a while since we've done one of these.
I know. It's been a while, and there's quite a bit of water under the bridge since the last time we've
Absolutely.
Talked.
Absolutely. Just like in the last few weeks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So at the last time we talked, we were talking about ministry-related things and leadership-focused things, and since then, you've made a decision to retire as the district president, and you've already shared all that information. So, folks, we're not going to dig into a whole lot of that today because there's other places that folks can hear about your reasons for that. But
sure.
We just thought we'd sit down and just have a conversation about sort of looking back at your time serving as district president for this district and any other thoughts that you have as we just kind of have an open conversation about ministry.
Sure. I can say it feels like a blur.
Yeah.
It's gone by really fast. It's hard to believe that it's almost 15 years.
And yeah.
That's the longest I've ever done anything in ministry by about a year.
Yeah, it's a good amount of time. It's a decade plus almost 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've seen quite a few different things go on. I remember as I just think about, those years and I've spent 14 of those 15 with you.
Mm-hmm.
You had some hills for ministry that you shared with us. Mm-hmm. And we've been on some unique and challenging journeys together.
Yeah.
But I guess as you look back, I'm open to just hearing from you what you consider significant. And it could be about pretty much anything.
Okay.
Just so you know, folks, we didn't talk a whole lot before this because we wanted to just sit down and kind of have an open and clear conversation together and let you sort of listen in as we have this conversation.
Well, for me, ministry has always been about people.
Yeah.
And not about ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, it's a part of ministry to bring ideas into people's lives and to encourage them to really think about how they can relate to those and the difference that context makes as they live their faith.
People come first.
Absolutely. And I think that's following Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Our challenge, I think, as the people of God is following Jesus. Good leaders are good followers.
Yeah.
And it's about connecting yourself to the true leader.
Mm-hmm.
and not getting sidetracked.
Mm.
And it's really easy to get sidetracked. I mean, we all do, just because it's pretty complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the easier way is to hold on to something, a person perhaps, that's more tangible.
Yeah.
But the real challenge is seeking to continue to follow the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And his way of leading us is to go into the depths, into the hard spots purposefully, and to take on that challenge of living there.
Mm.
And to do so with mercy and grace rather than overly worried about cleaning it up first.
Right. Just to be present there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To be with its people.
Mm. That's something that I know since the very beginning you've been focused on is that people do matter and individual people matter.
Right.
I remember this is a saying I've learned from you. Jesus counts to one. He just does it a lot.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I love that perspective because I think that's the way that God looks at people.
Mm.
Psalm 139,
mm-hmm.
When David talks about being fearfully and wonderfully made and how you know me so well. All the days of my life are written in your book before one of them came to be. And I think that, to me, is one of the great gifts that we have is knowing that God loves us and loves all people
mm-hmm.
with knowledge.
Yeah,
it's not like, oh, I'm going to love this person and I hope things work out or I hope they turn around. I hope they change. You know, that's a human way of doing things. But God loves with full knowledge. He knows the whole story before it pen ever hits the paper. Mm. And he still commits himself to us. One of my favorite pictures in my mind is that God commits himself to the cross as he's breathing into Adam the breath of life. That he's committing himself to the cross right there, making Adam a human. And he knows where it's going to go.
Yeah.
He just knows where it's going to go. And he knows how he's going to be hurt. He knows how people are going to hurt each other. He knows how his church is going to mess up. And the people that are supposed to be closest to him are still going to get themselves in trouble and not do things in a healthy way. And still he says yes.
Yeah. That's, as I hear you say that, that's the closest we get to a why, really, for God. Mm-hmm. That God would choose to join us because he loves us and bring us to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a really powerful why. And that he does that one person at a time, not in some abstract way, but in a deeply tangible, personal way.
Yeah, it's not like God does love humanity.
Right.
But he loves Paul, and he loves Dust, and he loves all the names of the people that are listening to this
at
a time, with full knowledge of who we are.
Mm-hmm. I think of that story Jesus told of the father with the two sons, and the one that ran away, and then the one that stayed. And we tend to focus on the one that ran away, and because he had a much more colorful lifestyle and choices that he made. But there are two sons, and that father in that story that Jesus tells is so powerfully present to both of them. Mm-hmm. And towards the end, he says, "And everything that I have is yours," to the one that stayed, as well as to the one that ran away. Mm-hmm. And that's that picture I hear you describing. That God, for God, everything he has is for each of us. We're drawn in. He wants us to be part of that. Mm-hmm. Each of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that second son, I appreciate you bringing up the story of the loving father. I like that, the parable of the loving
father. That's a better definition or description.
Better description, because that's who it's really about.
Yeah.
And I think in many ways, the older brother is the harder son to love, because he hasn't been honest with his dad, or perhaps even himself.
With himself too, maybe,
He hasn't been honest about it, and he's been living a facade. Hmm. And I guess as I think about the life of the church today, that's one really deep concern I have, is that are we living a facade, going through motions, and you know, mouthing words and speaking things that are just hard for us to actually put into play.
Right.
You know, they're ideas.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of been my challenge as a district president, and as I look back over my own ministry and life, is that saying words is easy.
Yeah, I'm laughing because I'm famous for saying stuff that I don't always, believe.
Mm-hmm.
At least with myself.
Or live out.
That's right.
You might even believe them.
Mm-hmm.
But living them out
and
putting them into practice is the hard part. And I think that's really hard for us as a church, too.
Sure.
You know, we've been using this metaphor lately around the office and with other groups about True North and Magnetic North.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yep.
I think it's really a great idea because they're not the same thing.
Right.
Maps are built around being able to identify true north, right?
Right. Yes, exactly.
But we have a factor that's present in the real world
that
makes it difficult to determine what true north really is.
Right.
Because the compasses that we use the magnetic fields of the earth to calibrate themselves. Yeah.
The measuring system is built on, for a compass anyway, is built on the magnetic field of the earth.
Right.
And that's not the same as true north.
Correct. It's a faulty assumption to think that they're one and the same. And magnetic north fluctuates. It varies based on the earth's core.
Right.
And how the magnetic fields are attuned to the changing nature of the Earth's core.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna find your way in this mm-hmm. world, you need to be able to account for the difference between magnetic north and true north.
That's right.
And I think is for the metaphor for me applies this way that God has a true north,
mm-hmm.
and I think He's pretty clear about that in His Word. We sometimes adopt a magnetic north.
Yep, just a little off.
It's just a little off.
Just and slightly not the exact true north.
It might not make a difference in the next mm-hmm. 10 steps.
Yeah.
But if we're walking 5 miles.
Oh, even, yeah.
We could be way off.
Even 1 mile, I'm thinking, so the declination is what it's called.
Uh-huh,
In another life, I used to use compasses and maps and things like that. And for the northwest area, the declination on a compass... for, you know, to fix it to be true north from magnetic north is about 15 or 14, somewhere in there, degrees. And so if you were to So if you were to not have that set, you know, if you were to walk for a mile, say, you would uh-huh. be, you know, like a quarter mile off.
Wow.
So just imagine, you know, I think I'm going the right way, but in a mile... You'd be quite a ways away from where
you could totally miss your target. You'd
completely miss it.
Yeah.
And imagine then if you were, say, up on a ridge or something and mist is coming in, mm-hmm. you could very easily step off the wrong spot and mm-hmm. you know, fall to your death.
Right.
I just sound so morbid right now. Sorry, Paul.
Well, I think that there may be some truth to that.
Yeah.
Because I think our magnetic north for us as a church are the things that we respond to in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
True North is I've always taken it as John 3:16-17.
Mm-hmm.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son,
yep.
that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world,
right?
But that the world might be saved through Him.
Him.
So God's target is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
God's target is connecting with each of those ones that we talked about before.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just the people who show up on Sunday that are the targets of God. It's the houseless people that yeah. are in our neighborhoods. It's the people who are trying to get ahead and struggling.
Mm-hmm.
It's the marriages that are in trouble. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, all the people that have issues.
Yeah.
And we tend to want to discount those issues and not realize that the way that we present the gospel to the world makes a difference in the way people are going to hear the call of Christ.
Yeah. You mean I can't just tell them they're wrong and I'm right? I'm just kidding. I know. You don't have to answer that, Paul.
I won't.
I'm thinking that. About the picture that comes to mind is, you know, typically at like a big event of some kind, there's like a, you know, a sporting event or something. There's always somebody out on the street with a megaphone.
Right, right.
Yelling at people. That was the picture that came to mind. And that's those dear brothers and sisters, I feel, are misguided because of what we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Telling, it's not just what you say, it's also how you say it.
It is. And obviously, it's so important that we communicate God's standards and
yeah.
His law to people. There's no question about that.
Yes.
And typically, I think, in at least in the training that I've received in the church, law comes first, gospel comes second, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's typically mm-hmm. the presentation that has been talked about. But I think in our world today, especially because people have such a lack of connection to the idea of church,
mm-hmm.
and to especially where we live are so uninformed and illiterate, really, about the story of God's love in Christ, that you have to earn the right to speak
right.
the law to them.
That's right.
You yeah. can't just hit them with it. So
or people who just don't even believe that God exists, right?
Right. Atheists
or
even the agnostics who don't know mm-hmm. for sure. You have to earn the right, and the way that you earn that right is gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Gospel, law, gospel.
Mm.
And I think that's a way that we can reflect God's love to people. And honestly, that's the story of the incarnation. Mm. Because Jesus comes into this world as a gift. Mm-hmm. That's gospel.
Yes.
And then as he is present, there's something about Jesus.
You're right, there is.
That people resonate to, mm-hmm. that connected him. Because, yeah, it's about unconditional love, absolutely. But when we look at the way that he was with people, mm-hmm. the people that were around when he was walking the earth gave up a lot to be with him.
Yep.
They walked long distances. They left their homes. They just wanted to be with him. And, you know, in our time, it's a little different story. Mm-hmm. But what we need to do is recapture that being with Jesus.
Yeah.
And reflecting him to one another. And I guess that to me has been an important part of my understanding of what ministry is, mm. is that I think our challenge as the people of God is that we're like mirrors. Mm. We can't manufacture this from within ourselves. We just can reflect what yeah. God shines on our life so that other people see the face of Christ yeah. in us.
I love these. They're great metaphors you're sharing. So there's the metaphor or the picture of the compass and the map mm-hmm. and knowing, paying attention to the true north, mm-hmm. making sure we're aligned with Jesus and not just what we think is true north. Mm-hmm. And then this idea of the mirror and reflecting that God is always shining. And yeah. our opportunity is to mirror that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can't love mm-hmm. on our own. And God's word tells us this. We love because he first loved us.
Yeah.
And so we reflect that love. We reflect yeah. what we've been given to the people around us. And when that happens, then we have an opportunity to influence. Mm-hmm. And the law can speak.
Yeah.
But it comes to them as a word of love.
Mm.
Even though it's challenging. It's a word of love. When someone that I love gives me some feedback about how my behavior is affecting them, just happened this morning.
Yeah. No names will be shared.
It means something to me.
Yeah, yes.
And I don't want to hurt them.
Yes.
Because I love them.
That's right.
And so the change that happens in my behavior mm-hmm. is motivated by that relational connection. And it's not just about obedience in a right. clinical sense, but it's about obedience in an offering sense. You want to do something.
Yep. It's amazing how the decisions that we make can change if they're surrounded with the arms of love. And that's
Absolutely.
What I hear you describing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That God's kindness works on us.
Mm-hmm.
And we start to belong to him. We start to sense that he really wants us to be in his heart, mm-hmm. in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there are things that I see that need to start being aligned with him, then I start to change. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people then speak love to me and speak hard things to me about mm-hmm. my behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And those changes start to happen. But mm-hmm. this is a great conversation about how God does what he does. And I think about the Gospels and what we see in Jesus, we see it there over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Every person is treated very uniquely by Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One at a time, face to face. And so what is our challenge as the church is how can we communicate that to the world today?
Yeah.
How can we help people see the face of Jesus today?
Mm. This is kind of, I don't know, it's not ironic, but it's really interesting that we're sitting here as two guys who work for basically we're not on the ground in ministry. We're in the district office. We're one step removed from ministry, and we're talking about mm-hmm. Where the heart of ministry is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I find that interesting. That's not to say that what we do isn't important. But that's something else I've learned from you, is that the stuff that really matters happens on the ground.
Absolutely. Yeah. And honestly, that's one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to this change,
yeah.
is I want to get back on the ground.
Yeah.
I do. I just want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
As I think back over the course of my life, I didn't go to the seminary until I was like 34 years old. So I had a couple of other careers, if you want, before that.
Yeah.
But I think that I was trying to be a pastor to people in those other roles. So, you know, when I taught 7th and 8th graders for 5 years, I functioned as their pastor.
I'm just giggling because that's, no one wishes that on anyone. That's a true calling.
Well, it teaches you what ministry is, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be willing to suffer
mm-hmm.
in order to make a difference in the lives of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught me that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been kind of a neat revelation to me that just reflecting over the life that God's given to me, I think that's what I was made for.
To pastor people.
Yeah. And I'm kind of looking forward to that, to being the center again. Mm-hmm. And not just an add-on or a peripheral.
Yeah. Sometimes people may not notice that or see that with these roles, that we're there to help support or remove obstacles
right.
so that folks can do what God's called them to do,
right.
so folks can run the race that God's called them to run and
yeah.
do it well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that over the years it's been hard for some people that I've been with to see because of the context
mm-hmm.
in which we're in, you know, when there's conflict present
yep.
in a congregation where people have misunderstood each other or they're just not getting along.
Yeah.
The role of the district president in that case is law.
Yeah.
You have to come in and say this has got to stop or we got to do something different here mm. or trying to help. Sometimes it means trying to help a worker find a new spot to start over again.
Yeah.
After things have not gone well.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not fun.
No, they're not.
Not fun yeah. conversations to have. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's sometimes hard for people to recognize that my target is to reflect Christ to them because they don't feel that.
Right. In the moment, it is hard. There's a lot of other stuff going on.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
it feels really harsh. And, you know, that's not the part of this mm. responsibility that I've really relished at all. But I also think that God is present there.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't always get the opportunity to be the gospel light.
Right.
I have to be another light.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's just a different role.
Well, sometimes we need light for lots of reasons,
yeah.
I think is what you're saying. And
yeah.
sometimes we do need it when there's kind of a mess going on and
mm-hmm.
we can't see our way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then it's really helpful to have someone from the outside be present
mm-hmm.
and help us find our way out of a dark spot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. You know, my metaphor for that over the years has been untangling knots,
mm-hmm.
Going into a place and trying to help people untangle
mm-hmm.
the knot that's there. And sometimes it's not possible.
It's tough.
Sometimes
yeah.
you got to cut it out.
Now you sound like a fly fisherman, which is one of my
go.
Favorite
there
pursuits.
You go. Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Sometimes that line gets pretty snarled.
Oh man,
it
can get really, really bad. And if for those of you listening, and if you're into this, you know the wind can do that. Any number of things can do that, including our own selves. And
right.
Sometimes the more we try to fix it, the harder it gets. And sometimes it is helpful to sit down, to take a breather, sit down on the edge of the bank with a trusted friend, someone who you know has a better handle on things than you do, and hand the knot over to them and let them help you and untangle some things.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At least that's the picture that came to mind as you were describing it.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, this has been a really fun conversation listening to you just kind of be thoughtful about your role and maybe kind of who God's made you to be, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a powerful thing for any of us when we
mm-hmm.
think about that. Your little byline in your signature is pretty important to you. And I know for most of us it is. We put something in our little signature line
yeah.
and usually it's something that's meaningful. What's that? What is that for you right now as you look back on this time?
Well, I'll never forget this because it was early on in 2009. And I think it was Susan Lorenz. She was one of the workers in the president's office then. Mm-hmm. She was a high school classmate of mine.
Shout out to Susan Lorenz.
Shout out to Susan and Andy.
Yeah.
And she asked me about my signature line.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about, okay, what should I put there?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I wanted to put a scripture passage in there. And this is the one I settled on. And I've used this for a very long time at all the installations, ordinations that I do as a part of the blessing. Because, you know, pastors are, they gather around the person who's being installed or ordained, and they pronounce a word of blessing on it, on them. And what I've used is Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, which is not a complete sentence in Greek.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those big, long yeah. Pauline sentences, you know.
a little bit of a ramble.
It brings all kinds of ideas together. And the challenge of trying to discern meaning is finding the main subject and verb of the sentence.
Okay.
And in this, verses 2 and 3 are not, you won't find the main subject and verb in verses 2 and 3.
Yeah.
The main verb is let us run the race.
Mm.
Okay. And what verses 2 and 3 are is Paul's description of how that happens.
Interesting. Okay.
And this is how it's translated. I think in NIV. I have it in my head. I don't remember version it is. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Mm-hmm.
Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, that you might not grow weary and mm-hmm. lose heart.
Mm.
And that verse has been close to my heart now for all of these years. And I think the reason that it's important to me is, number one, it's about pointing people to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. True North.
True North.
Yeah.
Who he is, why he came, what it's all about. In the context of how hard it can be sometimes on this side of heaven.
Yeah.
It's easy to lose heart. It's easy to get mm-hmm. weary. It's easy to become discouraged.
Yeah.
And the way that we cycle out of that is by looking to him, remembering who Jesus is, how much he loves us, how what he has done, and, mm-hmm. and just trying to consider the miracle, the absolute miracle of the incarnation, God coming near with full knowledge of who we are
mm-hmm.
and not allowing any of that to stop him mm-hmm. from helping us see Jesus.
Yeah.
That has been a great, great gift to me.
That's a powerful picture from that verse in Hebrews for you, the true north.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell that because I get to work with you in over the years, not just work with you, but be your friend mm-hmm. too.
Absolutely.
And I can tell that this is something that you're ready for, this change in your life.
You know, I am. I've been living with this for probably about 6 or 7 months,
mm-hmm.
just considering it, contemplating it, talking about it once in a while to people. But now it's public, now it's real, and it's this is my experience with it, that when I get to talk with people about it, it just feels like it's the right move.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had, the only times that I've wondered about whether it's a good idea are when I'm alone.
Mm.
With my thoughts.
Yeah.
But when I'm talking to people about it, no, I know that this is the right move. I really feel God has said to me, it's time to take a step, and it's a good thing. And don't worry, I got you.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that.
Well, you have said to me more than once in other contexts as we help other leaders that mm-hmm. ministry is a gift for a season.
Right.
And that's a powerful picture for all of us, mm-hmm. because it doesn't circle around us. Mm-hmm. It's his stuff.
It belongs to the Lord.
It belongs to him. Mm-hmm. And that's a good word for you to hear back, mm-hmm. as well. And for those that are listening to us, I think this has been helpful for me, and I hope for you, as you think about when you're in moments of real transition and working through listening to the voice of God, being able to talk to people about it is important.
It is. It is. And I want to relate a story from 42 years ago.
42 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Brand new teacher out of Concordia, Portland. My first day in the classroom was a half day. My principal, Ken Norton, was a very smart man. He knew that a half day would be enough
for Let's give the new teacher a half day. We want to keep this one.
Absolutely. For a 22-year-old teaching seventh and eighth graders, a half day was plenty to get started. And my dad was there. My mom and dad were both there because dad was going to install me that night. Mm. And I remember they were staying at the place. I had this house on the property that the school owned that they let me live in for the year, and they were there, and I came home after that half day of school and just kind of distraught.
Yeah.
Because it was clear to me that I got a classroom full of problems here. Yeah. People, kids who are hurting, mm-hmm. there's issues, you know, what are we going to do with all this stuff? Kind of felt overwhelmed, you know. And my dad said to me, they don't need another savior. They already have one.
Yeah.
I think about that every day.
Yeah.
Yesterday was my dad's birthday. Mm. And honestly, I wish I could have talked to him about this.
Yeah.
It would have been really good for me. I miss him. But that counsel, I want you all to hear that. They don't need another Savior. They have one.
Yes.
It's our job to point to him so that people can be embraced by him. And then we get out of the way. And we let Jesus be their Savior. And, gosh, I think in all these years of ministry, if that's the one thing that I take from it, that's good.
It is good.
It's a good, powerful thought.
Maybe the best of all. Paul, thank you. This is a meaningful moment, in part because you're sharing something that's really close to you, your relationship with your father who had a real impact in your life and influence.
Absolutely.
And I'm thankful for that because through you, he's had an impact on my life. And that's how this thing works.
It does. You throw a rock into a pond and it sends ripples to the edge.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sitting here and listening along with us. You've made it to this spot in this podcast, and we hope it's been a blessing to you. Mm. Anything else that you'd like to share, Paul, before we have a plan for a closing prayer? But anything else on your mind that you'd like to share?
I just look forward to the opportunity to see people in our district after the time in the office here is over, and look forward to the chance that we get to see each other. And if that doesn't happen here, it will in eternity.
That's right. Mm. Well, wherever you are, we hope this has been a blessing to you, and I would encourage you to maybe take some time and then come back to this episode. This is a good long one, and we talk about some really, really important things when it comes to serving God and living out the love that he has for us, and I hope that you consider that in coming back to it. That's the great thing about a podcast. So, Paul, we're going to close, and we're going to do it this way. I just ask you to pray for the folks that are listening, and we'll finish that way.
Sounds great. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is such a gift that you want to be our Father. that you've made yourself known to us and brought people into our lives who've shown your face to us. We thank you for that. And we especially thank you for our Lord Jesus and for the way that he has demonstrated just how deep that love runs. Lord, my prayer today is that each person who is with us now in prayer and has been listening to this podcast would see themselves as the object of your love, that they would acknowledge and know that they truly are the apple of your eye, that you love them one at a time and that they are dear to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church to communicate that to the people in our community one at a time, the people that we meet, the people that we live near, the people that we shop with and that we rub shoulders with in a lot of different ways. Lord, we ask that you'd help them to see you in us so that the blessing of your love might become real in their life too. Lord, we know that there are lots of obstacles to that in our culture today. We know that there are lots of messages out there that make it difficult for this to get through and penetrate. Lord, we pray that you would give us hearts of love so that we might be your instruments of blessing to penetrate those barriers so that the world might be filled with the gift of life in Jesus. Let that be our legacy. Let that be our goal. We ask for this in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.
You just listened to the Now Leading podcast hosted by the Northwest District LCMS, Leadership Conversations from a Lutheran Point of View for Christian leaders of all kinds. Take a moment after this podcast, and with everything you've just heard in mind, consider at least one action you will take. Then go and make it happen.